Can anybody tell me what that means?
The dog returns, so the dog sometimes can go back.
They do go back.
What's that mean?
Like when you make a mistake, you go back and again and again.
All right. Okay. Anybody else?
I see it as like how a dog vomits. It's like throw up is something that you are detested by, but yet it goes back and eats it. And like in the same way, the foolish stuff that we do, we should be like sick of it, but yet we continue to go back to it.
Mm-hmm. What about you? You just shake your head.
Yeah, I agree.
You disagree. No comment, but I agree. All right. All that's true. Okay. So, and the way that Brittany explained that, have y'all, any of y'all ever owned a dog? Everybody? Nobody?
No, you
know. Okay. Well, but you've seen dogs around the neighborhood, people you know, and you've seen that happen. What does that look like to you when you see that?
Disgusting.
It's not something that you would do, but yet the Bible said we do it. Said we do it. Said we do foolish things and we go back and go right back into the same foolishness once we get out of it. Once he frees us from it. We go right back to the same old, as if it wasn't vile, it wasn't disgusting, it wasn't something deplorable. We go right back to it. So he's saying that's a problem. That's a problem. Why do we go back to it? If it's gone, if he's removed it, if it's out of our life, then why not just let it go? Why do we go back to the same old situation, same old circumstances, when it caused us to vomit in the first place? It made us sick at our stomachs in the first place. Anything that you regurgitate is because it makes your stomach feel bad. It's something that's not agreeing.
Right.
Come on. It's not agreeing with your system. It's not agreeing with you. But you regurgitate it and go back and get it? He says something is wrong with this picture. We let it go just to go back and pick it up. And then we wonder what's wrong with us. We wonder why we can't be blessed. We wonder why we can't be delivered. How is it that God frees us and we're happy and we're doing good? But knowing us, we gotta hold on to something, and that something, we go see that something, and it takes us back to that same old place, that same old situation. And instead of being happy, instead of moving on with our lives, instead of living in peace, we'd rather live in misery. Something is wrong with that. Something is wrong with our state of mind. Can you see that? That's a state of mind that we should want to live in. What does Proverbs 10:10 say? Can anybody tell me what the book of Proverbs is? What is the book of Proverbs known as? Anybody?
What did you say?
What is the book of Proverbs known as?
Wisdom, advice.
The book of knowledge. Moving slow. Proverbs 10 and 10.
Whoever winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin.
What happens to a chattering fool?
Comes to ruin.
So a gossiping fool. A person who's speaking out of turn, a person who's just talking about people, putting people down, say they come to ruins. So why do you care about what they saying? Why do you care about their lies? Why do you care about, they gonna come to ruins. What they saying don't matter. If God be for me, he's what? He more than his whole world against me. So what people say about me, the lies they tell on me, that don't mean anything. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Naya, what you come to church for?
I don't know. I woke up this morning. I feel like I need to be here.
Okay. Okay. But what's your sole purpose for coming to church?
It's like medicine for me because what I was thinking about on my way home yesterday was how, like, anytime I am in the world smoking weed, doing things I'm not supposed to do, I don't really experience warfare because I'm already doing what the devil want me to do. All I experience is conviction. But that's like, you know, that conviction is from God. I don't experience warfare from the enemy. But then when I'm trying to do right, I'm a little bit better on, like, terms with God. But then I experience a lot of warfare with the enemy. So I'm coming to church really to, like, feed myself. Even though that's something we're supposed to do all week, like he say, forsake not the assembly of yourself, is something that I need in order to feel right. Like if I don't come to church, I don't feel right. I feel like something is missing. So I come to feed that need.
What you come to church for?
Feed myself.
Okay. What you come to church for? See, you just wanted me to ask you.
No, I didn't. To get wisdom and understanding and, you know, to see whatever it is God's trying to give me.
The best we can help.
Be refreshed.
So, it all boils down to that we come into church to receive something from God. We come into church to get better. Mm-hmm. That's what it all boils down to. Get something from God to be better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if we come in this place to get something from God to be better, mm-hmm. So is it safe to say that when we leave out that door, that we ought to leave out that door different?
Mm-hmm.
That we ought to not leave out that door the same?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not with the same issues, not with the same problems?
Mm-hmm.
But we ought to put that stuff down and trust God with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet still, what do? We come in the door with those problems, with those issues, and we say, God, I want to give this to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we say.
But we'll take it back.
And that's what we do. But we pick it right back up after we come to the altar and say, God, I'm going to trust you with this. But as soon as we walk out the door, when ain't nobody looking, we sneak back up to the altar and say, well, God, you had it long enough. I'm going to take it back with me. Because I kind of trust you with it. And I kind of like it. I kind of like feeling bad. I kind of like feeling miserable. I kind of like feeling the way I feel. So I'm going to take it back home with me. In essence, they can be saying, the dog to the vomit, I like it. So I'm a keep it. I'm going to hang on to it for a while. Because it's what I like. Because after the dog threw the vomit up, he go back to it. Does that make any sense to you? How many of y'all, I'll tell Sarita to turn the camera off. How many of y'all threw up and ate it?
What?
Why not?
That's nasty.
It's nasty?
That's waste.
That's waste?
Yeah.
But you're doing that with your spiritual life?
Yeah.
You're doing it with your spiritual life? You're doing it with your spiritual life. You're playing with your soul. Because after God frees you from something, you go right back to it and regurgitate it. What kind of sense does that make? He said, I freed you from this. And when he said, when I set you free, what?
Free indeed.
Okay. So why are you going back to get it? But he said, let it go. Trust me with it. Put all your burdens and cares on me because I care for you. I love you. I want to take care of you. Y'all, hey, listen, church full of women right now. Y'all always tell me y'all want somebody to take care of y'all. Y'all got the ultimate man to take care of y'all, and y'all still taking it back. So what does that say?
We don't trust God.
We playing church. We playing child of God. We just going through the motions. Getting our Bibles out and dusting them off for Sunday and as y'all call them, church clothes, putting our church clothes on. I've never in my life seen that in any store I've been in. Walk into Walmart and ask the man up front, can you tell me where your church clothes are? He gonna look at me like I'm crazy. What? Your church clothes section. What does that say? Y'all don't even catch that, do ya? You're putting on a facade. Let me get ready. Let me go get my church clothes. Open this drawer and get my church attitude. Go over here, dust off this Bible. Everything's a facade. Because everything about you should be God. So what does that say? That whenever the doors of church is open, you should be ready to go. It should be an attitude that you have to put on, a facade that you got to put on. You should be ready. When Sunday morning, let me back up. Before Sunday morning, you ought to be priming yourself up before Sunday morning even get here. So by the time Sunday morning get here, you already got a praise on your lips. You are already ready to say thank you because he brought you through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with everything that was going on. People lost their lives. People locked up in jail. People ain't got nothing to eat, but he brought you. But you But you couldn't even let everything that you went through go to praise him. And he brought you. Think about it. We still living our 10-year-old scars when we was 10 years old. We ain't let it go. We living our scars when we was that baby's age. And ain't none of us in here his age. But we still living our scars from when we was his age. What does that look like at your age now? So think about it now. That man got on a pimple. So think about it now. So if you living out the scars at his age, you might as well dress you up like you his age. Put you on a pimple. Put a bottle in your mouth. Sit you in somebody's lap. Put you in a stroller. That sound ridiculous, don't it? But ain't that what we're doing? Ain't that how we carry ourselves? You got to praise your way through, praise your way out. Then you got the next one.
Why store of knowledge? Mouth of a fool invites ruin.
What do wise people do? So wise people take the nuggets, and they keep the nuggets. But the mouth of a fool invites ruin. You take on whatever stupid stuff people talking about, whatever stupid stuff people have said about you, whatever lies they talking about, you take on all that stuff. But somebody wise, I ain't dealing with that. I got better things to do. I'm about my father's business. That's nonsense, and I'm not dealing with you. When do we realize that we just need to do God? We don't need to do nothing else, we just need to do God. When do we realize that? Just do Jesus. Do Jesus. If we all got it, and everybody right here, if the kid got up and she had a sincere praise, you got up and you had a sincere, and you got up and you got a sincere praise, and you got a sincere praise, and you got a sincere praise, and you got, how many of y'all in there? 3, 5, 6. That's 6 people. Well, it's infectious, right? Mm-hmm. And if your praise is sincere, the person next to you can't help do what? Experience it, catch it, and it's gonna flow out from them. But now, you can't praise because you thinking about what happened to you when you was 10. You can't praise because you worried about who's looking at you and who sighed at you this morning. And God said, just let that go. And let me handle all that nonsense. And you praise me. What is it that God can't give himself? Okay, what were you created for? Was you created to put makeup on yourself? Was you created to have friends? He created us to worship him. That's what we were designed to do. That is our job. To worship him, to lift him up in praise, in adoration. And why wouldn't we? Okay. How many in here just eat super healthy? How many in here just eat super healthy?
what you're saying about some oxtails.
When you get them, bring me some. How many in here exercise like they should? Oh, okay. So, the intake that we take in our body is not safe, but he kept us. And we still here. And we know we're not taking care of ourselves. But yet, we still here. And we can't take time out just to salute him, just to say, and be sincere about it. And how long did this church last? So we started, what, 11:30, depending on how the choir members flow into. Come on, let's tell the truth. Let's tell the truth.
We wait on you.
Depending on how the choir members flow in, 11:30, we get started, service started. What times are we at? Come on, somebody tell me something.
12:31.
1:30?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're about 3 hours, 4 hours. Mm-hmm. And then it's 24 hours in a day. So that leaves 20 hours for you. This is just one day. That leaves 20 hours for you to do what you want to do. And you can't take 4 hours and absolutely engulf yourself in praise for him. Let everything else go that's been going on. And not even understanding that when you engulf yourself in praise for him, when you engulf yourself totally in God, guess what he gonna do? He gonna bless you. And everything else that was going on, he gonna remove that. I mean, it's a win-win. It's a win. But yeah, we can't find ourselves doing it. We can't find ourselves in love and praise because we're worried about everybody else and everything else and what happened. Why is that so important to us? Somebody tell me. I'm still trying to figure out. I don't care nothing about nobody talking about me. It just don't mean nothing. You paying my bills? Cause if you are, please, I need somebody to pay my bills. Huh? You ain't pay my bills. You ain't feed me. You ain't living my life. You ain't walking in my shoes. So you can't judge my walk. You can't judge my talk because you don't know what brought me to where I am right now. So, whatever you're saying, whatever you're saying, I need to let that go. And I need to just thank God for just being here today, for just where I'm at. All that other just don't mean nothing. It came. And I'm just foolish every time I let it engulf me. When I let it overtake me. Because in the grand scheme of things, do I got a heaven and hell to send you guys to? I don't. I'm trying to get myself to heaven. I don't have a heaven and hell to send you to. Nobody do. So why are you listening to folks? Some are broken situations. People who hurt people themselves are broken, correct? Is that safe to assume? Some of us are looking for validation, apologies, y'all favorite word, closure, from somebody who's broken. I mean, does that make sense? You looking for closure from a person who's broken. How does that make sense? Please explain it to me. They are broken else they wouldn't have broke you. How can they say, I'm sorry and please forgive me, if they are broken? Any answers? Any suggestions? Y'all quiet like church house mouse. Explain it to me. You looking for an apology from somebody who was broken. They broke you. And you looking for them to tell you, I'm sorry. Here's your closure. And if they say I'm sorry, do they really mean it? How can closure come from a broke place? Except one knows God as the Lord and Savior, you ain't gonna have to look for closure, because closure gonna come to you. Because what does God do? He breaks down all those sinful ways, all those sinful thoughts. So the person that was broken, when God heals them, you're not going to have to look for closure, because they're going to come to you and apologize for what they done. So until God fixed them, you need to let it go and let God have his way. Because you need to move on with your life. Move on with your prayers. Move on with your worship. But you can't do that, because you're still going back to your vomit. Y'all said that dog was disgusting, but you acting like him. Some of us need flea collars and leashes. That sound insulting, don't it? Huh? I bet if I came, Patterson, if I came in here with some leashes and some flea collars and handed that to them and then told them to put it on their necks, they'd have got up and said, that pastor crazy.
Yeah.
He crazy. He done disrespected me. But that's what we're doing. God done freed you, then set you free, and you go right back to the vomit and lick it up. Say, God, I'm happy being right here. I like when he slapped me upside my head, because he tell me he loved me afterwards. I like my black eye. It just means he loved me. If that's love, I don't want none of it.
None.
I don't want none of that. He didn't sock you in your eye, beat you up. You in the kitchen, eyes half closed, cooking him food, preparing him a plate, then brought it to him. Here you go, baby. Vomit. But then here you got God, who loves you, who wants to take care of you. But he said, all I desire from you guys is praise. All I desire from you is worship. Well, God, I can't get it to you right now, because I'm thinking about my problems. I can't get it to you right now, because I'm wondering what my man is doing while I'm gone. I can't get it to you right now, because this issue, this vomit. Some of y'all be circling the trash can. That's okay, because when I was a trash man, when I dumped them cans,
look in
John, I found some good stuff. Some kind of stuff. Oh, come on. But what I understood was, when I looked in there, I understood some of these stuff still had tags on it. Some of it still had value. The stuff that had value, I took, but I understood what was trash, and I left. That's what y'all ain't figured out yet. What's trash is trash, and you need to leave it where it's at.
Yeah.
You need to learn how to separate. Pastor Brittany knew this. Now we separate our clothes. Whites, colors, and we wash them. But see, we got three at my house. We got whites, colors, and pretty clothes. Our clothes cannot be washed with Brittany's clothes. Because her clothes need to be washed in a certain way. And she don't want her colors to rub off, John. So she hang hers up like my grandma used to do. So they hanging up all over the tub and all over dressers and just everywhere. Now she good at separating them clothes. But we ain't good at letting trash go. We ain't good at letting situations go. Trials and tribulations. We ain't good at letting that stuff go. We want to hang on to it. What for? I got a friend, I love her to death, Miss Ruth Vibbs. D's my witness. You go over to Miss Ruth Vibbs' house to visit her, it's an alleyway. It's an alleyway, and that alleyway leads to chairs, leads to the kitchen, the bathroom, because all over everywhere else,
it's trash.
It's junk. Mm-hmm. She's gathered up so much stuff in a house that she can't even enjoy her house. Mm-hmm. Y'all didn't catch that, did you?
Yeah.
You got so much stuff in your house that you can't enjoy God. Because he ain't got no room to be in there with you. He can't be in there with you. Because Johnny gave me this. Bob gave me this. And Tom gave me this. But when you look at it, ain't nothing but problems and issues and trials and tribulations. And you just building up all this stuff in your house. And now all this stuff is in your house. You ain't got no room for Jesus. You ain't got no room for praise. You ain't got no room for worship. Because you ain't let it go. You're still holding on to it. Still holding on to it. And then you say, Lord, what's wrong with me? God, they gonna get mad at me. You know why you can't move to the relationship that God has for you. You know why you can't get to the man that God has for you, the husband that God has for you, the relationship to be the way that it's supposed to be, because you keep bringing that trash into the new relationship. You keep bringing that trash into what God has for you. And until you get rid of the trash, because Big Junk Day happens every month, till you let go of all this old junk. Them 10-year-old problems and pains. Because if you're still suffering something from 10 years old, we can sit you on the front row in a pillow with a pacifier and a bottle. You made it. You made it. You 30. You 40. You 50 and you still talking about when I was 10. God saw it. And God will address it. You don't have to. for you. But you won't trust him with it. Again, we come down here and bring my burden to the Lord and leave him there. And you do it while everybody's at church. But as soon as we dismiss church, you come back up here. God, you can't. You can't deal with that. I'll take it back with me. Until you really let it go. Until you really turn it over. You're not going to get to where God needs you to be. You're not going to get to that blessing, to that stage in life. To where you can stand on your own too. To where you can be. I know a lot of y'all look in the mirror and say, gosh, I'm cute. But actually look in the mirror and be proud of what you see. Be proud of you. You will never get to that stage until you let go of the past. Let go of the hurts. Let go of the drama. Let go of the nonsense. Let go of the things that people have put you through. Let it go. Because it's not hurt them. It's hurt you. It's holding you back. Not till they probably forgot about what they did to you. You still walking around with a grudge. They don't even remember it. So let it go. Move forward. But move forward with confidence. Move forward with praise. Move forward knowing who God is in you. And know who you are in God. Move forward. I see something in you. But if you can't see it in you, don't do no good for me to see. Don't do no good for me to see it if you can't see. When you can truly let go and you can praise without restriction, you can worship without restriction. That's when you ain't worried about what uncle done to me or what mama done to me or to how they looked at me this morning. They talked about me. Praising without restriction. That's when God is going to bless you. That's when God is going to bless you. Because remember, that's something he can't give himself. And that's our requirement. Stop letting the problems of the past keep you there. I was talking to the guys at the police department. Now, John, I'm one of the oldest ones. Why these new guys, these young guys, can't use computers? Why are you scared of the computer? This is the future. And if you can't use this computer, I'm not gonna be able to keep you. If you can't step in the future, if you can't step out your hands, you're not gonna be blessed. You're not gonna be blessed. God said, I need you to walk in the now. He already took everything. All your sins, throw them in the sea of forgiveness to remember them no more. You the only one remember. You don't let you don't want letting people break you down for them. He said, I already let it go. I'm waiting for you to let it go. Because only when you let it go can you move forward. We keep dragging things around. and we don't even understand. It is weighing us down. It's impeding our steps. And we just keep sinking deeper and deeper and deeper. And we don't even understand that. I'd rather press forward than press backwards. I was looking at a movie, and I can't find that movie now. I was looking at this movie. This lady was a FBI agent, and I'm saying it took place in the 50s, 60s, but her collar was way out to here on her dress. I look over at Brittany, and I was like, well, why was her collar so big? And she said that was the style. And I'm saying, well, if that was the style, I get it, but why was the style that you had to have such a big collar? It didn't make sense to me. And, you know, go back to when we was looking to Superfly and all them, and they in the high heel shoes and, yeah, and that was the style back then.
Yes, sir.
Could you see yourself dressing like that guy?
I'm trying to make real Superfly is.
Huh? I'll bet. D? Put a picture of old Super. This baby said, who's Superfly?
Okay, my bad.
Yeah. But.
The song?
The baby, who's gonna help you? But we can't see ourselves dressing like that in today's time. But yet, we live with a mindset that's left back there. Because where we were hurt at. And God said, I need you to press. I know it's painful, but I need you to press. I know it don't feel good, but I need you to press. And if you press, and trust me, I'll bring you through this. Go ahead.
A lot of times, the reason we can't move forward is because we haven't broke the soul tie.
Mm-hmm.
And should we break that soul tie? And a lot of times we think that a soul tie is sexual. A soul tie is something that's either in a sexual relationship or either in a healthy relationship. That be with family, that be with friends. And that's why we hold on to stuff, because we have to deal with the root of the problem. And that's saying, I mean, I'm gonna forgive you, because if I don't, I'm hurting me. And that internal sickness is spread to other people. And so what happens is all we do is transferring that same sickness, and it limits you from getting this relationship with God that He's requiring of us, if that makes any sense. So a lot of times we still holding on to old baggage, things that mom did to us, things that dad did to us, and it's hard to let it go. And sometimes you just gotta say, hey, I'm not gonna get, and what the problem is we're looking for answers, and you're not gonna get the answers. God said, trust me, and I'll give you everything that you need, that you think that you lost in that relationship, if that makes sense. That's what I did.
Y'all got any questions?
Leave this for the day. There goes Superfly back.
That's a beast dress.
Did you know who Superfly?
I seen the movie though. That scene.
Okay. But well, we've educated two young women today. Better is in Jesus. Not in closure. It's in Jesus. And he said, I stand here with outstretched arms. I want to give you better. I want you to be better. But all I can do is stand here with outstretched arms. It's up to you to come in. It's up to you to embrace him as he embraces you. We're going to get there. I'm going to drag you out, kicking and screaming. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're going to get better. We're going to be better. This church is going to be better. We're going to blow the roof off, not just Oklahoma City, but we're going to blow the roof off this world. Because we're going to be doing what God told us to do. And we're going to stop letting little things, little situations get us down. And we're going to rock this thing, right?
Right.
All right, somebody pray. Let's go for our next service. Somebody, anybody.
Father God, thank you. Thank you for what our ears have heard and what our hearts have felt. Father God, now we prepare to enter the God of service. Give us a mind of worship, a mind to serve you in spirit and in truth. Give us a mind to move out of the way and expect nothing but greatness from this service. We ask that you would be with all those that are the participants of this service. They've left those that are on the way, left those that have desired to come, may not be able to continue while we keep this ministry. Continue to watch our leaders, our administrators.